This episode is brought to you by Glorify, the number one Christian daily devotional app. Everything around us changes. God doesn't. That's why I love Glorify's 21-day challenge. It helps me build a simple habit of meeting with God every day. No pressure, just consistency. With Glorify, you can start your morning by reading the Bible passage of the day, diving into Glorify's daily devotional, and wrapping up with an immersive experience called Daily Walk with God. And if you need to take a few minutes to yourself in the middle of a busy day, try one of Glorify's guided meditations or listen to their curated worship playlists for some quiet reflection. To end the day, enjoy Glorify's sleep meditations to help you wind down and put your mind and heart at ease. Whether you're a committed Christian or simply curious about faith, Glorify has something for you. Join over 20 million people who have downloaded the Glorify app and deepened their relationship with God. Listeners to the show can get full access to Glorify for just $29.99 for the entire year. That's Glorify's lowest price ever when you download the Glorify app now at glorify-app.com/redcircle. Feel closer to God this year with Glorify. Get full access all year for just $29.99 at glorify-app.com/redcircle. That's glorify-app.com/redcircle.
Republicans locally and across the country have been railing on Governor Tony Evers' desire to make some parts of state law gender neutral. Evers proposed changes to a section of state law about artificial insemination. Husband, man, mother, and father would be replaced with terms like person, spouse, and inseminated person.
Why? Who asked for this? Did anyone ask for this? Ironically, this is coming from the establishment left because I couldn't think of anything more misogynistic than calling a woman an inseminated person.
In all my time in and around politics, this is probably the dumbest proposal that I've seen. If I called my mother an inseminated person, she'd probably slap me.
Right. Inseminated person sounds like what you would call livestock or cattle. It's dehumanizing. I mean, this is so ironically prejudiced based on what the establishment left traditionally finds offensive, that it reminds me of the movie Black Panther, which is supposed to be like the DEI superhero movie where they're like, we're finally being represented. But the writers take a super advanced culture of African Americans and have them live in huts, throw spears, make gorilla noises, the main character gets his power from purple Kool-Aid, and at the end, when they go to a black neighborhood to share their technology, the first impulse of the young black characters is to steal it and take it to a chop shop.
Man, what the hell is that?
That's like a Bugatti spaceship.
Bro, it came out of nowhere. Did y'all see that?
Hey, look, we can break it apart. We can sell it on eBay.
Like, they're trolling, right? I couldn't believe that this stuff was in the movie. So this whole calling mothers an inseminated person is just more of that. They spend 5 decades arguing that stuff like this is demeaning to women, and yet now they do everything they can to create a language and culture that demeans women.
Evers wants to change other parts of state law as well. One state Republican lawmaker counting at least 30 times mother is replaced with a gender-neutral term, father subbed out more than 120 times.
So this all seems kind of strange. Legislators changing common words and concepts that have been in language since the beginning of time. And I think that certainly anyone who's read the book or seen the movie 1984 knows that authoritarian forces will purposefully try to scramble the language, but there isn't a lot of discussion around why specifically that's being done and how it causes people to respond. I feel like that's important because people only seem to understand this on a basic level. For example, I think most people who have spent more than 5 seconds paying attention to culture over the past few years can figure out that the reason the governor of Wisconsin gives for why he wants to change the word mother to inseminated person is a lie.
We're working for the families in Wisconsin, especially those that are receiving IVF services, and making sure that we can make certain that mom is able to get the services she deserves.
I'm not going to pretend to be a lawyer here, but assuming that the term mother does not include in vitro, which seems untrue, then I'm sure there are a bunch of different ways to include in vitro without replacing the word mother. This is obvious gaslighting, and I don't think that it takes much brain power to figure out that the real reason they want to say inseminated person instead of mother is because they want to say that men can get pregnant without identifying them as trans. So I think people get this on a basic level, but what I don't see a lot of is understanding of the more under-the-surface reasons for why these grifters will cling to these changes that nobody wants, and call everyone who criticizes them liars.
You can count on this being, something that the Republicans are becoming very good at, and that is lying.
That's how you know they're full of shit. When they start blaming the other party instead of addressing the issue, because the reality is that all of you are assholes.
I also find it rich that all of the sudden the other side has some problem with successful businessmen being involved in politics whenever you guys are the party of George Soros, of Bill and Melinda Gates, of Sheryl Sandberg, of Mackenzie Bezos, of Taylor Swift, of so many other billionaires across the country, as well as every woke, weird pervert in Hollywood. I find this incredibly disingenuous.
I've lived long enough to see that politics doesn't really attract a lot of honest people. Both sides have some shit going on, which is really frustrating because it makes it hard to champion the people who represent your beliefs. The point is that anyone who is a good speaker or a good writer knows that words have meaning beyond their dictionary definition. Each word or phrase has a specific emotion attached to it, and if you want to be an effective communicator, then you have to understand the emotions that different people are going to feel when you use certain words. Otherwise, they won't listen to you or follow your cause, and this is a part of the reason why words are being messed with and changed. Politicians certainly know the importance of the emotion behind a word, which is why they use the same five buzzwords over and over again to rile up their voter base. When you say things like abortion, hate speech, universal health care, Nazi, the Constitution, social justice, or traditional values, they evoke certain memories and emotions in people. When you say the word mother, you might get a warm feeling, you might get the feeling that it's someone who cares about you, or you might remember a good experience that you had with your mom. The term inseminated person feels cold, disgusting, and emotionless in kind of a scientific and descriptive sort of way. Like I said, it's dehumanizing, and bad things tend to come after people using dehumanizing language. So not only are these 1984-style word games designed to strip emotions from words or make them more inconvenient to say by adding four additional syllables to a two-syllable concept, but also the people who play these games will add emotions to previously meaningless terms like diversity and inclusion, which have a lot more to do with excluding people so you can surround yourself with only those who agree with you, and that makes everyone more accepting of things like this.
It's very dangerous, Chuck, because a lot of what you're seeing as attacks on me, quite frankly, are attacks on science.
Quite possibly the most unscientific opinion that I've ever heard.
What are the ways you can clearly see that something is a psyop? First, you're not allowed to question anything.
Yep.
And Fauci so often contradicted himself during COVID that one of his cronies actually fought to make it a crime to criticize them.
There's a local doctor who's become a household name. He's been urging people to get COVID vaccines, and he's also developing vaccines. We're talking about this man right here, Dr. Peter Hotez. And because of his fame, he's also a frequent target for critics. But should that vaccine criticism or outright threats be classified as a hate crime? Dr. Hotez thinks that option should be on the table.
The right words were so harmful to these people that they were going to try to put you in jail for angry emails. And you can see why, because Fauci and his group of cronies were essentially committing treason in 2020. And one of the ways evil people hide doing evil things is by taking simple ideas and needlessly making them more complex.
Really intelligent people have the capacity to explain things that might seem complex in a very simple way.
Smart people make complex ideas simple, stupid people make simple ideas complex, and dishonest people make simple ideas more complex on purpose. For example, we have two basic concepts, male and female. Easy, right? Except not anymore, because now there are like 1,000 genders that are being thrust upon children who aren't even old enough to count.
This is Ari, Gwendolyn, and Brynifer. They are in a polyamorous relationship, and they all parent Hazel and Sparrow.
We have a 2-year-old anti-gender baby and a 10-year-old who is non-binary.
Nobody knows what that means. Certainly the children don't actually know these concepts well enough to understand the consequences of their choices. And the issue with confusing children about their sexual identity is that it's very likely to rob them of healthy relationships from mentally stable people who don't require that someone memorize like 30 different awkward pronouns before they talk to them.
These polyamorous parents let their children choose their gender.
They're anti-gender, but we're using they-them pronouns. Sure, they have anatomy, we understand it, but like that's not indicative of their identity. It's something that Sparrow's gonna have to figure out and then tell us before we can panel anyone else.
Particularly because it's, you know, something that our parents did and they got it wrong.
Right, just because you decided differently means that we need to change a process that is correct for over 99% of people. Not only that, but instead of having the incredibly small number of outliers who don't end up identifying with their biological sex find out how to adapt in their own way, we all now have to disrupt a ton of different processes when it comes to how we interact with people and change all of our policies on how we teach kids by telling them that a guy can be a girl and a girl can be a guy, biologically. Not socially, biologically. Seriously, basically everyone was fine with transgendered people, and nobody had a problem with them until they started going after children, and until they started insisting that everyone be forced to cater to them. And again, it's not just about the difference between the words sex and gender. Oh, they mean different things. Sex is your biology, and gender is how you choose to identify. Bullshit. These terms have always been interchangeable to be congruent with biological reality. And if they're going to say that sex is different from gender, then why do so many of them care what sex is on their passport?
I applied for a passport earlier this month, and this is how it's going so far. Not great. Basically, they were saying that my gender marker that I was requesting was not what was matching my biological sex at birth, which is a very inaccurate elementary way of looking at gender and sex.
In the past week or so, I've seen at least 10 videos or articles about people crashing out because their biological sex was accurately put on their passport, which shouldn't be a problem, right? Because the passport says sex, not gender. I thought these people only cared about gender. And God forbid that person goes to the doctor and they start getting treated for the wrong disease because they told the doctor the wrong biological sex. So it's not just about the difference between gender and sex. This is about blurring the lines and expanding the definition of the term biological sex to try to bend reality and get people to accept shit like this.
This episode is brought to you by Glorify, the number one Christian daily devotional app. Everything around us changes. God doesn't. That's why I love Glorify's 21-day challenge. It helps me build a simple habit of meeting with God every day. No pressure, just consistency. With Glorify, you can start your morning by reading the Bible passage of the day, diving into Glorify's daily devotional, and wrapping up with an immersive experience called Daily Walk with God. And if you need to take a few minutes to yourself in the middle of a busy day, try one of Glorify's guided meditations or listen to their curated worship playlists for some quiet reflection. To end the day, enjoy Glorify's sleep meditations to help you wind down and put your mind and heart at ease. Whether you're a committed Christian or simply curious about faith, Glorify has something for you. Join over 20 million people who have downloaded the Glorify app and deepened their relationship with God. Listeners to the show can get full access to Glorify for just $29.99 for the entire year. That's Glorify's lowest price ever when you download the Glorify app now at glorify-app.com/redcircle. Feel closer to God this year with Glorify. Get full access all year for just $29.99 at glorify-app.com/redcircle. That's glorify-app.com/redcircle.
Contrary to this ad, most women are not accepting of this. If the average picture is worth 1,000 words, then this picture of a biological male being ousted by the biological woman is worth 10,000 words. Women are not okay with their hard work being ruined by cheaters, and no amount of gaslighting or avoiding taking a stance from popular public figures is going to change that.
This is in Scientific American.
Yeah.
Less than a year ago. Inequity between male and female athletes is a result not of inherent biological differences between the sexes, but of biases in how they are treated in sports. That's nuts. Scientific American is saying basically that the reason why an NBA, WNBA team can't beat the Lakers is because of societal biases.
What you're saying is not Scientific American says that. An editor for Scientific American says that, who no longer has the job. So don't indict a 170-year-old magazine because somebody...
Okay, this is called Scientific American, and they're printing something
because someone enters the cesspool that is social media and then participates in that exchange. Let's talk about science.
Why can't you just say this is not scientific and Scientific American should do better?
That was like a year ago, was it? Which one was a year ago?
I think a year ago, women still couldn't beat men in basketball or any other sport. And it wasn't because of society. You don't see a problem.
By the way, long-distance swimming, women might actually have the advantage. You can look into that. Yeah.
I mean, I remember when people used to respect Neil deGrasse Tyson like 10 years ago. It was a good day when he showed up on a Joe Rogan episode. Now he's just an obvious paid shill who refuses to answer basic questions when it's politically inconvenient. And don't think the trans stuff is the only time where they've tried to expand the definition of words. It's done almost constantly to promote an agenda. For example, racial tension in the 90s and the 2000s was at an all-time low, which is bad because racial tension makes grifters like Al Sharpton or Robin DiAngelo a lot of money, and it helps certain politicians get voted in. So in the 2010s, they invented the term microaggressions and told people that it was deeply racist to ask a person where they're from, which didn't really stick, but what did stick is that stereotypes became racist, and since the 2010s, if you say things like certain races like certain types of food, you're basically Hitler now. But before this time, stereotypes were never considered racist, which is why jokes like this and Family Guy existed, despite the creator being very on the left.
I too will be abstinent. I'll be as untouched as the turn signal in an Asian woman's car.
How much signal I need to cut across 8 lane? None? I turn now. Good luck, everybody else!
And by definition, stereotyping is not racist because traditionally when I was a kid, before the term was expanded, we were taught that racism required the belief that other races were inferior to your race, which then means that those inferior races deserve to be dehumanized and have freedom stripped away or violence done to them. Saying that Indian street food should probably have better hygiene standards is not racist, but saying that certain races are inferior because their brains are smaller and therefore they should be treated as lower class citizens is racist. There's an important difference. And just like the word racism, they've changed the definition of a ton of words like immigrant or rights to include a vast number of things that they didn't include before. And the final thing that these changes of wording and definitions are designed to do is destroy traditional ideas that work and turn everyone into useless people who will follow and do whatever they're told because they can't do anything for themselves. Most people don't realize this, but the vast majority of our success is due to just copying what other people have done in the past. This process is so ingrained in the way that we think, and so commonly leads to the correct answer or the correct behavior, that it's kind of funny to point out when it causes people to do things that make no logical sense.
Let me show you something. This is a normal harbor in Iceland. And as you can see, the Etz line is painted yellow, and the box is gray. Let's see another harbor. Yellow line, gray box. And when I was young and stupid, I was hired by my hometown harbor to paint one of those lines yellow. And because I was young and stupid, I did everything I could to make the job easier, like putting the paint can on the box while I was painting. And as you would expect, I bumped into the paint can, spilling yellow paint all over the gray box. So again, me being young and stupid, I just painted the box yellow, thinking nobody's gonna notice. And here's that box today. Yes, they keep painting it yellow. And as I showed you at the start, it's not every harbor that does this, just this one. And it's actually been so long that they probably don't even know why they paint the boxes yellow. It's just something they do now.
Welcome to human nature. We have a giant set of effective learned behaviors that most people don't understand. They just do them because that's what's always been done. This actually describes most of your behaviors. So the goal of someone who is trying to destroy things is to confuse and replace these effective traditions or passed down behaviors with something else that is broken and not effective. This is why they try to force you to say Happy Holidays instead of Merry Christmas, or why they try to ruin Halloween by saying that wearing a costume is offensive cultural appropriation. They're trying to erase traditions that bring people together. This is also why authoritarian regimes try to get rid of things like Christian churches. Forget whether you believe in God or not. You want to know one of the biggest factors destroying the family right now? It's not because of hypergamous female nature or passport bros. It's because people stopped going to church. Church is a place that people go to on a regular basis to share values and socialize with their local community, which these days is almost unheard of, as everyone's social activity now occurs mostly through the internet. You're also around a bunch of marriage-minded people who can help you through tough relationship issues, instead of your idiot single friends who push you to break up or divorce at any slight insult. And you're around a community whose base values are forgiveness and helping others. The God stuff doesn't matter. This is what matters, and it's why authoritarians hate and constantly shit on religion and try to replace it with worship of the government, to the extent where not everyone, but a significant number of the people without religion just end up being a bunch of crazy morons who constantly crash out over people merely disagreeing with them.
Why do you feel the need to do that? Why do you feel the need to tear our posters down?
Because I don't like them.
Why?
I think you know why.
Why?
These posters were apparently for a Charlie Kirk event. Now, I know nothing about Charlie Kirk outside of him being a conservative, but this chick can't even articulate why she doesn't like him, and I feel like every day I see multiples of these ridiculous crash outs or people acting like it's the apocalypse.
I want to thank all you people out there for voting this individual in. Thanks so much, because guess what? I live in a rural community, and now I know I can't safely leave my house. I'm going to be underground. You guys won't hear from me again. Bye, guys.
So Trump getting into office was so monumental that in just a few weeks, it turned everyone in your community into a bunch of dangerous predators who you have to hide from? That's strange, because when I step outside my house, it's like nothing has changed.
It's always some white man in my DMs who is just like, if only you didn't hate on Trump, then maybe I could show you a good time. Stay away from me, white man!
But now we have the daily crash out videos, and we have modern Democrats being so out of touch that they think that acting like they're on the battle screen of a turn-based RPG will win them votes. Good news for Hillary Clinton, though, because someone has finally done something more cringe than Pokemon Go to the polls.
It's giving. It's giving it. So Sigma, main character energy. Negative aura points.
So a lot of damage has been done to people's intelligence and wisdom by breaking traditions and changing words. Ultimately, these cultural norms and traditions help you develop your self-concept, because a major part of that is created through your experiences with other people. And the big issue is that if you need to make changes for the better and you have a poor self-concept, nothing will happen until you change how you perceive yourself. For example, if you feel like you're a failure and that's how you identify, then you will actually avoid making changes that alter that self-concept. This applies to things as small as believing that you're the type of person who can't fix things around the house, and to things as big as believing that you're the type of person who cannot lose weight or get a decent job. Becoming the person who can do those things threatens your identity, so your mind will actively resist it. This is actually quite an annoying thing that the brain does, but fortunately, once you're aware that you need to change who you believe you are before you will start to make a serious effort, you can actually start making positive changes much faster. You just get used to adopting different mindsets and different states of being. Anyway, thanks for watching. Follow me on Twitter, and I'll see you in the next video.